Chapter 160. Moonlight Sonata. Around 3 a.m, by Harry's slightly confused internal clock, it occurred to Harry to wonder why they were staying up all night working on modified drafts of Valor. "Sir, is there a deadline?"
"Bellatrix will attack with the dawn. She is infected with a taste for the dramatic."
"You want to figure this out by dawn?"
"Here is a lesson for you in the proper attitude towards potions mastery. A potion master must win before the battle ever begins, because one cannot pause to brew during a duel."
"Yes, sir." Harry went back to work for a few minutes. "Sir, does anyone else know she's attacking at dawn?"
"The Order is aware. Careful!"
Harry jerked backwards, just barely not colliding with Professor Snape and taking them both to the ground in a tangle of robes and salt water. "Sorry, sir, sorry."
"Sit down and rest. You may have 20 minutes.
Harry sat down on the floor next to a dozing Ron, pulled his knees up to his chest, pillowed his head on his arms, and fell asleep between one thought and the next. Should Professor Snape be pushing himself so hard, so soon? Harry woke up to Draco shaking his shoulder.
Are they attacking yet?"
"No, here." Harry looked between the mug of pumpkin juice in Draco's hands and Draco's face, which was a cool mask, and decided not to make a comment about servants. "Thanks." He drank it all in one long gulp, and then put the mug down on the flagstones, and got back to work. Their last batch of modified draft of Valor before dawn was butter yellow and, indeed, smelled faintly of butter and sunshine. "That really shouldn't be physically possible," Harry commented.
"What?" asked Snape.
"The smell."
"Spare me."
Snape was frowning at their cauldrons. "Is there something wrong?" Harry asked.
"The potion itself is elegant enough, but it lacks elegance in delivery. We will have to hold people down."
"Huh, delivery." Harry studied the potions, which were slightly pearly iridescent in their pale yellow splendor. The vapor made him feel confident, as if he could do anything if he just concentrated. Concentrate. Focus on the memory of pearly sheens and potions. Hook it from your mind like a fish. Soap bubbles, floating around Professor Flitwick's classroom, swiftly banned. One of Harry's very first candy experiments. "Severus, she has arrived." A silvery eyeglass-marked Patronus cat told Snape in McGonagall's voice, coming in through the wall in a burst of light. Harry glanced at his teacher. His face was pale and set, eyes glittering. Snape looked back at him.
"Come, let us speak to our adversary and see if we can draw her into error. Keep a careful mark of the time. We have 20 minutes before these need to come off the flame."
Snape swept from the room, and Harry followed. Instead of going to the main hall and the main entrance, Snape and Harry headed up and up until they reached a lookout point on the battlements at the front of the castle. Bellatrix Lestrange and a circle of Death Eaters were at the locked front gate of the outer wall of Hogwarts, and Harry fought off a flashback to a graveyard a very long time ago. He'd grown up since that horrific encounter, hadn't he? He'd died, certainly, and that must mean he'd lived enough first. Being tired was making his brain think funny things.
"Bellatrix, my dear," said Snape from the battlements, after a brief spell made communication possible and easy, if loud. "If I had known you were coming, I would have been better prepared. What brings you calling?"
"Open the doors, Severus. I must speak with you." The woman's voice was cold and mad and reminded Harry strongly of Voldemort's. From this distance, he could not see her face.
"Are we not speaking?"
"I will have words with you. You will explain where our lord and master has gone, and how you came to stand there with the Potter boy."
"My apprentice?"
Snape glanced at Harry for a brief, dry moment.
You have not forgotten he is a student, I trust. I have been teaching him.
Where is our master, worm?
Your master is dead, Bellatrix, as you must have suspected. Perhaps you will join him in death and be together there forever. I certainly could not object.
Never, traitor! Cur, he should have put you down, not trusted you. I will see you dead!
And then it was a matter of dodging an acid green spell. At that distance, it was easy. The sound of explosions and curses from below began. And the clanking of armor, for some reason. Snape started sweeping back towards the stairs, and Harry followed. I had a thought, Harry said, trying to figure out how worried he should be about all of this. About the potions distribution. Pouring it on their heads would be awkward, but do you remember that soap bubble candy I made? The one that let you blow bubbles? Snape stopped walking, expression distant. Then he was in motion, striding down the stairs in long-distance eating strides, almost running. Get Sparrow's compendium from the forbidden section of the library. We are starting over. Run, Harry.
Harry ran, because Professor Snape never used his name.
Sparrow's compendium was a huge leather-bound book clad in iron straps, and it shivered when Harry touched it, but did not scream at him. Being the headmaster's apprentice and a seventh year counted for something, he thought. As he hauled the heavy book downstairs to the potions lab, not quite staggering under the weight, he saw battle being joined outside the window. Giant spiders were fighting animate statues, and what seemed like hundreds of spells, red and green and 20 other colors, rebounded across the front lawn. Harry pulled his gaze away and ran, stumbled on the trick staircase, almost fell, caught himself after a frantic acrobatic tumble, and continued his headlong dash. Hermione was guarding the entrance to the potions lab, wand in hand, as Ginny and Luna hauled away cauldrons of butter-pale potion. Harry spared her a smile and ducked inside, where Snape was setting out a whole new set of ingredients. Lye and ash, fresh myrtle leaves, flowers and roots, and an array of bottles that Harry knew contained different essentials and other oils.
Good, Snape said. Find the section on myrtle. It is organized by element, so it will be under fire.
Harry swallowed a moment of sheer shock that Snape had told him he'd done well at something. Concentrate. Concentrate, Harry. He flipped through the book as Snape lit a purple flame under his largest cauldron and filled it with water, beginning to add the ingredients for the Valor Potion with iron precision. Found it, sir, Harry said, after what seemed a very long few minutes. It felt wrong to be here, not out there fighting, to be keeping Ron, Draco, Hermione from the fight, when the fight was everything that mattered, an end to the war, an end to hiding.
Read it aloud.
Myrtus, commonly known as Myrtle, is sacred to Venus and best harvested when she shines brightly in the heavens. The language was antiquated, the writing ornate to the point of unreadability. Even a couple years ago, Harry would have had trouble interpreting it. It was detailed to the point of absurdity, but it seemed to mean something to Snape. He pushed away the myrtle leaves and roots and began working on the dried myrtle flowers. Harry interrupted himself to ask, Sir, you can't think you can substitute for gladiolus and live myrtle with dried flowers, can you?
Keep reading. The compendium is dependable.
Harry continued reading, and ended up in a section about the spirit of plants and essential oils that completely lost him, despite him knowing all the words.
Read that paragraph again, Snape ordered.
Harry did so, and watched, mystified, as Snape dabbed drops of an oil on the flower petals. It took basically forever.
What, sir, can I help?
Stand away. I cannot slow down for you this time.
Despite his words about slowness, Snape was painfully patient as he applied the oil to the dried flower petals. Harry clenched the edges of his stool to avoid the impulse to talk or move or run off to fight, worried that distraction would cost them whatever had Snape as focused as a falcon on the wing. Then the process of brewing truly began. Snape's hands swept through the air as gently as if coaxing music from a cello, flowing between ingredients and cauldron. Just one cauldron, and it took all of his attention, where the man could usually manage five at once. Harry lost track of the ingredients and steps, despite his careful attention, and could only watch as Professor Snape worked magic. Moonwater with salt and iron, fur and feathers, oil and lye. Some of the ingredients were the same as the Potion of Valor. Some steps were from his candy recipe he hadn't even thought Snape knew, and some made no sense whatsoever. He could have sworn he saw Professor Snape sprinkling flower petals into the cauldron with his eyes closed near the end.